Singer-songwriter Amos Lee is on tour throughout the summer. He's supporting his latest album, Dreamland, which takes the listener on a rich and emotional journey, holding up a mirror to Lee's lifelong battle with isolation, fear, and anxiety. Here's the title song, Dreamland.
Dreamland, nothing's ever what it seems. You stumble around and you fall down, you think. It's everybody else's dream. Here in dreamland, everything's a broken line. You think it's you who's falling apart. Everybody else is fine.
Back in February, I spoke with Amos Lee, and he told me about his struggles and why he decided to be so candid with this new project.
I started writing these songs in 2019, and now that I've had time to reflect on it, it was almost like I was in isolation boot camp before the pandemic. Writers are generally isolationists. You kind of have to be one. I mean, Hemingway would probably disagree to an extent, but I would guess that while he was writing, he would be more isolated. And when I'm in my right, like, so my life has two strange chapters that I flip back and forth to. And one is on the road and is extremely social, and one is extremely inward and writing. And so at the end of my last touring cycle, which was now in 2019, I just kind of like really went into a hole and wrote and wrote and made this record. And then guess what, Peter? Back into the hole you go.
We all got it. Oh, you laugh. You sound like a really outgoing guy. You mentioned Ernest Hemingway, who had his own demons to wrestle with. I know you've struggled with anxiety and depression throughout the course of your life. And I want to talk about that if we can, because it seems like this is a theme that runs deeply through your entire album. Do you remember when you first started feeling that way?
I was a kid. I mean, I don't know how old I was, maybe 7. I was laying in bed and I was thinking, what is God? And if God is God, what made God? And if that made God, what made it? And I went into this really like kind of strange tripping out circle of thought where I was like, well, what is the beginning and what is the end? And I had this panic attack and I got out of bed and I ran around the house. No one heard me because I did it silently, because I like to suffer in silence.
But this was actual panic. I mean, this wasn't just like a kid asking questions.
No, it was, I was like, oh God, this is not good. Because I couldn't, you know, that's the existential dread. I just had it earlier than other people. The first time I had a major anxiety episode was when I was 10. I kind of developed agoraphobia, which is really debilitating and intense.
You couldn't go out?
I couldn't leave the house. I walked out and I just felt complete terror.
Wow. Could your family help you? I mean, did they understand what was going on?
No. This is like 1987 or 1988. And like, we weren't having those conversations. You know, I grew up, there was a mental health facility, or, you know, a quote unquote institution near where a lot of my family lived, and they closed it down. And I remember like people used to make us scared because they'd be like, yo, everybody's getting out of Byberry. You know, you better be careful when you go outside. And so like, those are kind of the myths that we were running into then, that like any form of mental illness meant you were dangerous. It's much better now that we're having conversations about it. We're having athletes talk about it. We're having artists talk about it. Mm. You know, we can have more meaningful conversations about our struggles.
And that's part of what your album is doing. This song is called Into the Clearing.
I wanna burn up.
You know, I was surprised to hear you say that for most of your life, when you walked into a room, you didn't feel like you belonged. And I wonder, first of all, if you still feel that way, and also if you do think it helps people who aren't famous musicians hear someone like you say that?
It's a complicated answer, obviously. It depends on the social situation. I don't think it has anything with being a famous musician or not, which, by the way, I don't consider myself.
Okay, you know, you're pretty famous. People know who you are.
I consider myself lucky to have an outlet that I can connect to other people through, because music has been the biggest part of me being able to feel like I belong in a room and be able to connect. It's been the bridge of all bridges for me. And I was reading a book during making this record called Lost Connections by Johann Hari. He talks a lot about communal connections and reaching out to other people when you're feeling down. And that's a huge part of this. Like, there are lots of days where, like, over the pandemic, I did a lot of over the pandemic as if it was like summer vacation. Over the last 2 years, I've done a lot of live shows over the internet. And there were days when I definitely didn't want to do it. But I willed myself to kind of get into the headspace because I knew it would hopefully at least help someone else. There's a song on the album called See the Light. That's kind of like the lesson that I've been taught most of my life by my family, which is like, if you're feeling bad, try to do something good for someone else, like help them or help yourself to see the light through them.
Even when I lose a win, and even when I fail to play, when I fall off the map and disappear without a trace, even when I can't breathe in and I'm falling out of line, everybody around me says that everything gonna be alright. See the light, see the light, see the light, see the light, see the light.
You know, speaking of community and people helping each other out, I want to ask you about someone who I know is an inspiration for you, the great songwriter John Prine, who died of COVID. You know, I spoke recently with Sturgill Simpson, who told me what a blow that was for him personally. What did John Prine mean to you?
John Prine is the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing. I mean, I can pretty much say that he was sort of the genesis of this. Like, I didn't even know what an acoustic guitar was before I was 18. I didn't grow up listening to folk music. I grew up listening to hip hop and R&B. And I went to college and I got a guitar. And I went to see Prine play at the Township Auditorium in Columbia, South Carolina. And I was like, that's it. Like, that's the stuff. This is the perspective that I've been missing in my life. Like, you know, think about a song like Hello in there.
You know that old trees just grow stronger and old rivers grow wilder every day. Old people just grow lonesome, waiting for someone to say hello in there. Oh.
That's exactly what he was talking about.
Isolation. Yeah. Loneliness.
And reaching out and saying hello in there and saying like, hey, you know, you're not alone. Not that that makes any of the dread go away forever, but it's a temporary pause, like a Hershey kiss, you know, it's like, here we are.
Getting back to your album, because we've been talking about some pretty heavy stuff. You know, I hear hopefulness in your music as well, and we can hear it on this one. This is called Worry No More.
Worry no more.
Amos Lee, what has helped you get through some of your most difficult times?
Music, obviously, is the biggest one. Friends, the people that love me. There is so much beauty that's constantly around, and we get bogged down because there's an avalanche of fear. There's an avalanche of anxiety that is there for us whenever we're climbing. You know, I was watching a bunch of documentaries about climbers and Everest, and there is a kind of a beautiful analogy thinking about like an avalanche occurring, not on top of you, but on the side, that you just like, all right, I'm still going to climb, you know, because I am going to get to that peak. I'm going to see the summit. if I turn back now, I'm never going to see it. So there's sort of like this hopefulness that there's always more beauty ahead. And that's what music gives to me. There's always this hope that there's more beauty ahead.
Amos Lee, the new album is called Dreamland. It is really beautiful. Thanks for making it, and thanks for speaking with us about it.
My pleasure, man.
See you in the doorway. There's tears on your face.
Our interview first aired in February. Amos Lee is out on tour for dates and cities. Go to hearandnow.org.
Don't need no one to fix you. 'Cause babe, you ain't broken. There's hope in your eyes. The new sun will rise. You shall be woken. I wanna hold you. I just wanna